Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. Let's get into a story about Canadian banks. And if you were watching my previous video with Doomberg and it says that it's not pulling up in your area, I sincerely apologize. YouTube is saying that I did that, and obviously I did not. YouTube blocked the video for several areas. They're saying it's due to that clip that we played from Justin Trudeau's father. So the editors are getting that clip out. And so that video will be able to hopefully be seen by all of you in the very near future. Apologize about, well, I shouldn't apologize for YouTube, should I? That's their fault. So, but definitely nothing I did. And that's the backstory there. So let's get into the more relevant story right now, which is the Canadian banks. Are they going to collapse? And just as a refresher, what was happening last night is all of this activity, if you want to call it that, basically the banks shutting down online. I guess they couldn't handle the volume. Maybe it was because of the wires. That is kind of what I was thinking here. This gentleman, James Melville, said, "What the hell is happening to the Canadian banks right now?" I mean, staggering, the outages. I think this is what they're reporting on their website. So a lot of people were saying that this is a bank run. I even tweeted that says, you know, would we be surprised if there was a bank run when Trudeau came out and said that he's going to freeze everybody's accounts? Of course not. That's just a rational decision for the population of Canada. But then other people, you know, the CNN types, they come and say, oh, this is fake news. They're just having an issue with their online platform. Okay. It's nothing coincidental that they are all having this issue. And even if it is their online platform, who cares? It's most likely people trying to wire money to another bank or wire money out of the country. I mean, who knows what's going on up in Canada? But one thing my good friend Emil Kalinowski pointed out in this tweet that I retweeted right here is that he and I did a video maybe a month or two ago. And he talked about a recent study from the BIS. And this study came to the conclusion that the country that had the most susceptible banking system to a crisis was, in fact, Canada. So let's get into this study, guys. This is, again, from the BIS. And let's scroll down. The main gist of this article or this study is that they, I'm going to get to, here you go. So they looked at these metrics that all banking systems that had collapsed had in common. So it would be credit to GDP, total DSR, household DSR. So this is debt service ratio, property prices, household credit to GDP, foreign currency debt to GDP, cross-border claims to GDP. And they saw that when a country, and I forgot exactly, but when they got into the no bueno zone, let's say, in four or five of these categories, that there was a high, high probability that they would have a crisis in the near future. So let's go back to the report. Sorry, guys. Okay, there we go. Go back to this report, and they also point out the metrics that held the most weight. And I believe these were the four. So that'd be household debt service ratio, credit to GDP, total DSR, and cross-border claims. Or this either held most weight, or maybe said another way, it had these metrics had the highest predictive powers. So they graded each one of these countries based on those metrics that we saw earlier, especially the four main metrics. And you'll notice Canada right here. They were one of the worst in the credit to GDP and the debt service ratio. And they were in the no bueno zone, yellow zone, if you will, in household DSR and cross-border claims. If you add all of these together, the three worst countries, China, Hong Kong, you want to consider that its own country or its own banking system, let's say, and Canada. And I think that Canada was the worst out of all of them. So now we look at that, and I highlighted it down here. And of course, my highlighter tool is not working. Shocker, right? Shocker. We've got aggregate credit indicators point to vulnerabilities in several jurisdictions. Canada, China, Hong Kong stand out. So now we go back to that tweet, and this becomes even more interesting, doesn't it? I'm not saying that there is a bank run, but something is unusual. And this something that is unusual is happening within a banking system that is highly, highly, highly susceptible to collapse. So this is something that I think we should be paying attention to in the days to come. And from a financial standpoint, setting up your portfolio, but also from a freedom and liberty standpoint, from what Mr. Doomberg was talking about, going back and actually looking at history and understand that we are at a very crucial crossroad in the world today, where we are going to either get back on the path to freedom and liberty, or we are going to continue down this road to serfdom, this very slippery slope towards authoritarianism. And these politicians are complete psychopaths. They're sociopaths. I believe they're puppets at the end of the day, most of them, and for the global elite. And this is something that I do believe that we are going to get all most of these restrictions worldwide in most countries, probably not all, but most countries in the rearview mirror moving forward. We've won the battle, but I think we've got a lot more work to do if we want to win the war. Hey guys, I want to remind you to check out Rebel Capitalist Pro. This is the incredible online investment forum that I have with investment experts Lynn Alden and Chris McIntosh. It includes professionals such as Patrick Serezna from Macro Voices. He specializes in options. Tony Greer, commodity trading. Jason Hartman, real estate. And Brent Johnson with macro economics. If you want to build wealth and thrive in this world of out of control central banks and big governments, Rebel Capitalist Pro is the resource you need. So check it out today at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. We'll see you inside with the fellow Rebel Capitalists that are taking their investing to the next level.
Also, another thing that I would be thinking about, that I will be thinking about tonight when I go to the gym, is how the Canadian banking system could have a systemic impact on the U.S. And I don't think it can. Right off the top of my head, I would say no. And also, another thing that I want to discuss further, which I might do on a whiteboard video, is I've heard a lot of people talk about just going and taking out your cash and this creating a bank run where the banking system would collapse and we'd be able to bring down the whole thing and just move over to Bitcoin or gold or silver. I think it would be great for you to go withdraw some cash. I think that's smart. Will it create a crisis in the United States if everyone went and took out their cash? I'm sorry to say that we unfortunately we do not have that type of control. Let me give you a couple quick numbers to illustrate my point. Prior to the GFC, the entire U.S. banking system ran on about $40 billion worth of reserves. Now, there is way over $4 trillion, way over $4 trillion. And then if you guys watch a couple of my last whiteboard videos, you'll notice I've used a chart of the cash in checking deposits in aggregate total of households in the United States. And right now it's at about 3.6, or so, 3.6 trillion. So even if everyone took out that 3.6 trillion in cash, which isn't going to happen, but let's just say they did. Okay, well, let's think about the balance sheets there. What would happen? The Fed would need to create those dollars, the treasury, whatever, their liabilities of the Fed. Those would go to the individual banks. And the Fed would reduce the bank's bank reserve account at the Fed by the equivalent amount of cash those banks required or that they requested to give to their customers. So then what would happen to the bank's balance sheet? Say, oh my gosh, George, that'd be terrible for the banks. Kind of. The asset side of their balance sheet would go down by 3.7 trillion, but so would their liability. So their balance sheet would shrink, you see? So I think it's a great idea. I definitely think people should have cash outside of the banking system. That is for sure. But in the United States, unfortunately, and I believe we do have a lot of power, guys. We got a lot of power. The truckers are showing us that for sure. But I don't know that is the right approach. And I see a lot of people talking about that online. A lot of YouTubers and kind of these, I think they're kind of wannabe gurus on Twitter. I'll just leave it at that. When they're talking about this, it just shows that they don't understand the banking system. And that's not too big of a deal because very few people do. But now that said, it could bring down one bank if they had a disproportionate amount of people that actually went in there and they didn't have the reserve to cover it, then you got a bank run. But for most banks, the way the balance sheet, and because the Fed has done so much quantitative easing, they don't care about your deposits. That's like, what was the movie? In black and white, it was A Good Life. You guys know the one I'm talking about. They play it at Christmas all the time where there was a bank run and it was, I think it was black and white, supposed to be in based in the 1930s or something like that. But people think that that's the way the banking system works today. And it doesn't, guys. It just doesn't. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but it just is what it is. The banking, the wonderful life. Thanks, guys. The banking system doesn't need your deposits. Not anymore. They did prior to the GFC, but now they don't. They could run just as easily without your deposits. And I think you're seeing proof of that. At least I was when I was in Phoenix, because every single time I'd go to my local Wells Fargo, they wouldn't even have the doors open. Wouldn't even have, it'd be 2 o'clock in the afternoon and they'd be shut, the doors, on a Monday. And the only thing they would have open is the drive-through. Like, what kind of service is this? And you guys have seen this, I'm sure, yourself in your own life, that the level of service at banks is horrific. It's terrible. Again, most of them aren't even opening their doors 9 to 5, or they're just picking and choosing their hours as they see fit. And then if you have to get if you have to do something in the bank, they make you go online to set up an appointment. And then if you don't, you just have to go through the drive-through and pray that they can help you. I mean, what is this? And I believe, and people say, oh, it's because of the cerveza sickness. Yeah, I don't think so. I think the cerveza sickness is just giving them all an excuse to do this and basically tell their customers to pound sand. And if the customers say, oh, I hate your service, I'm just going to take my deposits and go elsewhere, they say, good, get the hell out of here. And don't let the door kick you in the behind or whatever. Bottom line is, they don't care. They don't care. They want you to leave. And I think that's why they're kind of behaving in such a manner that would force the depositors to go somewhere else. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Always stand up for freedom, liberty, and free market capitalism. See you in the next video.